You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. After 9 on a Friday. Gunner unavailable at this second. He'll call when he's available. Got an email. Mac. A few months ago, I listened to your little rant about federalizing elections, and I just chuckled because the idea certainly has merit, capping what you can spend on an election, which prohibits anybody from buying an election. All the money is supplied by the federal government. If you're running for federal office, state governments, we simply have to figure out the primaries, I believe was your contention. So the question is, what would have to happen for a system like that to be even discussed or some modifications? And the answer is, I think you're watching it. We're watching the crazy things that get happened in this country relative to elections as Robert Mueller continues his investigation. No matter what you believe about Russian involvement, the truth of it is there is a whole industry devoted to deception and garbage that surrounds our elections. I think that what you're talking about certainly has merit because it does return elections to the people. It also gets us out of this disgusting other business. See? Not as dumb as you thought I was, am I? Yeah. So here's the concept. Okay? And he's right. He's essentially got it right in his email. He's essentially got it right. So the concept is this. Look at the number of millionaires that now run for office. And a system that gets us Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump as the two choices puts most attention not on are you qualified to be president of the United States, but name recognition and ability to raise money. That's how you become the president of the United States of America. Are you qualified to be the president? That's really of secondary importance. Okay? We can school you up on the issues. Right? That's why when a guy like The Rock or Oprah says they're interested in running for president, that's not a joke in this country anymore. What are we going to do? You know, I used to make movies. Now I'm the president of the United States. And then the response to that is, well, Ronald Reagan did it. Ronald Reagan was the governor of the state of California for how many years? So it's not like he just said, yeah, I'm out of the movies, let me do this. Right? So, I mean, he cut his teeth somewhere before he decided he wanted to be the president of the United States. So I, again, interesting stuff. But what would have to happen? What would have to happen is our election system would have to find in it all these ugly things that we were finding in the election process. Okay? And let me tell you, the Democrats didn't invent those things, right? Nixon didn't invent those things during Watergate. Where did Nixon learn those tricks? Well, that's the way it was done. That's the way it was done. So I think that it's a miserable system. It doesn't get us the best people. And as a result, we pay for it in terms of the results that come out of Washington, D.C. So, but in order for there to be, you know, the system be reformed, and again, if you capped it, if you capped the amount of money that could be raised, or no, you said, look, there can be no money raised. Every candidate that qualifies will get the same amount of money. So they will either earn or fail based on their own merits. It won't be because they can buy the office. They can run more attack ads. All right? Yeah, Mac, the problem is there's a thing called the Constitution, the First Amendment, and that we have the right to spend our money the way we want to, so you would see all that money flow to other organizations that would advertise and market for the candidate. Yeah, well, that's prohibited. Can't do that. We are going to have televised presidential debates. They're going to debate twice a month, starting in, what, July, August, September, October, November, December. No, November. You won't go in December. So July, August, September, October, 4 months. Over the course of those 4 months, they'll debate twice a month. And then we vote. All the rest of this underheaded, you know, by the democracy garbage. Like, seriously, who cares what George Soros thinks? So he gets more of a say than I do? Why is that? Oh, because he's rich. So it's rich guy rules. I got it. So rich guy, a rich woman, they can buy the democracy. That's okay. The Mercer family, right, that have been so involved in Breitbart and Steve Bannon, the Mercer family, they get a say. What, the Koch? What is it, the Koch brothers, the Koch brothers, whatever you say, however you, K-O-C-H, Koch, whatever you say, they get a say. So I think that our way of electing people, you know, the way it has evolved is ridiculous. I think there's better ways to do it. I think you level the playing field and you return the election to the voters. That's Mac's theory. And the contention, I'll read this final paragraph. After watching all this ridiculous garbage come out of any number of either investigations or inquiries, it's a little bit disgusting. And I would love to see the system that you proposed enacted. Yoo-hoo! Yeah, they can name it after me. We're going to conduct our McNamara election. There'll be a statue to me outside some polling place. It's a special kind of metal made by my boys in the Brotherhood of the Steel Workers because they love me. But, yeah. They would go ahead and they would, and it would be the reason it would be the reason it would be a special kind of metal is that way no bird shit would stay on the statue after we put it up, because I'm not having a statue of me covered in bird shit. Okay, that's not how I'm doing it. So yeah, another email. Are you serious about eating healthier? Because I've gone down this road before only to stop because I don't like the way it tastes, and I go back to things I've eaten most of my life, which I know aren't that great for me, but it's what I enjoy. You know, and I think everybody goes down that road, right? As you get older. But here's the key, and that's why when I asked Kim, the key is it's got to taste good or I'm not eating it. It's just the way I am. I wish I was made another way. I'm not. So if it doesn't taste good, I'm not eating it. So, yeah. So that's the key. The key is it's got to taste good. So, and then with a lot of this stuff, you could eat as much as you want of it because most of it is vegetables and stuff that's good for you, and so you can eat it in quantity, and you know it's not like you can only have 7 French fries or something like that, and then you can blow it up on a Sunday, because you're not doing it to be a recluse or a hermit or some other crazy thing, you're doing it because you still want to eat those things, you just can't eat them all the time. So how do you replace them with other good foods? And again, that's the challenge. The challenge is finding things that taste great. And I certainly would not contest that. And that's the hard part I think about eating healthy is I don't want to eat stuff that doesn't taste good. So, something that, you know, the Russians tried to use a nerve agent and kill a double agent who is living in Great Britain. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff, right? The police in Britain have had to request military support because of the nerve agent that got sprayed around one of their cities by the Russians. In an attempt to go ahead and to kill their guy, yeah, they blast a nerve agent in the center of a British city. I mean, tell me the Russians aren't crazy. And this is not, you know, normally they use kind of some kind of plutonium or something like that. And they poison. Remember that guy? As he was dying, he was talking about the Russians had done this and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so now what they did, they sprayed, and the problem is this guy and his daughter are in stable condition in the UK. And so they'll survive. And then the way life is now between cameras at businesses, cameras at houses, cameras. The Brits will identify who did this. Yeah. And we'll all be shocked when it's a Russian, yes? No. Because it's the way they do it. Vladimir Putin is a liar. How do we know he's lying? Because he moves his lips. Now, Musselman, who loves the guy, his ears must have been burning because he just called. Joining us right now from Flagstaff, Arizona, is Mike
Arizona.
Musselman. What's going on, man?
I got screwed up on the time. That's why when he called, I was like, what is he calling for right now? And forgot. Oh shit, Arizona. Okay.
How was the second half of the trip?
Oh, blissful, man. I mean, peaceful, the best ever. You know, there's nothing like getting in the car for 15 hours with your wife.
But a beautiful trip though, yes. After I spoke to you, the scenery got progressively what?
No, the sun goes down, Mac.
Oh.
So yeah, I can imagine in my mind's eye.
In your mind, it was beautiful?
In my mind's eye, it was beautiful, but it was dark outside. I couldn't see a thing.
But the sun came up this morning. You're in Flagstaff. Flagstaff is straight up beautiful.
No, we're in Prescott Valley.
What?
Yeah, we were going through Flagstaff, Prescott Valley. That's where we spent the night. That's where Tina's mom lives. And then we're going to Sedona. In a little bit,
you're going there to. Is there a wedding or what?
Yeah, my buddy's getting married.
All right. And how far is Prescott Valley from? I've never been to Sedona.
Sedona, it's like 40. Well, as the crow flies, it's like 40 miles or 40 minutes.
But as the road flies,
the crow fly doesn't always fly straight.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be like an hour and 20 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can go the scenic route, which will take you longer because it's a windy road, you know. So, or you can take the direct route, which we're going to probably take, and shoot on up the 17 and then up. So,
the 17.
Hey, did you ever get in touch with Phil?
I did.
Okay.
We
arrange a time to get on
Phil and the First Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion Association is gonna hop on All Marine Radio. So
LAR.
Exactly.
First LAR.
That's
remember when guys would ask you like, hey, are you part of that LAR battalion? Yeah.
No, it was worse when we started, man. It was LAV battalion, LAV battalion. And then, and we were at Margarita,
I remember that.
Two of our guys get caught together, passed out in a car, naked. Okay. Then we got called the First Love Battalion.
Oh, you know what? That's great, though.
Isn't it? Like typical Marine Corps shit.
That's great.
We're on Margarita with 1-5, 2-5, 3-5. And so, you know, you're out PTing, like running in, you know, like company formation battalion, and they're all standing there like, hey, love battalion, what's up? It's all good in love. It's all good in love battalion. Yeah, it is all good in love battalion. So, Prescott Valley, Arizona. So Tina's mom lives there. Wow. Well, that's cool. You got to see Tina's mom. And so Prescott Valley is, where is Sedona?
In Arizona.
I know. Where is Sedona relative to Prescott Valley?
North. It's north.
Wow, that's like Grand Canyon City, right?
No, not that far north. Grand Canyon is north on the north side of the 40.
Oh, well, let me tell you, man, Sedona, that's like crazy beautiful place now, yes? I've never been there. I've never been there.
Really?
Yeah, no. I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
Well, if you ever... What?
I know. Don't say it.
Remember what I said yesterday?
No.
The moments that take your breath away? Yeah. Grand Canyon will take your breath away.
Really?
You get on the ridge. Oh, brother. Yeah. On that rim. Yep. And you look out there. You know, there's that movie called Grand Canyon, right?
I don't know. Was there?
Well, they all kind of were trying to get out there, and then they finally saw it, and then they were just all silent. Or something like that. That's what it does. You get out there and you look at that, and you're like, wow. It really is one of those moments that, like, really kind of, there's not much you have to say. There's not much you can say, you know? It just says it for itself.
Okay. I want to, something else that takes your breath away the first time you see it. Do you remember the first time you went to Camp Wilson in the 80s?
Oh, yeah. The wooden A-frames and stuff.
Corrugated
tin roofs.
Yeah, so we had A-frames that sat on the sand. Yeah, tin roofs.
Yeah,
tin roofs. And do you remember going in the head there? And do you remember all the?
Oh,
do you remember the 50 shitters online with no sidewalls?
Yeah, those were fun though. You didn't consider having a conversation. What's up, man? And there's nothing more uncomfortable than having, you know, I don't know what it is. Why there's like this taboo that you can't crap by looking at somebody, you know? And I had a buddy who could not, he was sitting on the crapper. If you walked in and you made eye contact with him, he just froze up. You'd have to get up and go. So he'd get up in the middle of the night and just go take a crap. And he'd be like, I gotta take a crap. But he just couldn't do it because he couldn't do it while people were watching.
And Mike, what's your conservative estimate of how many crappers were in that row of crappers? How many do you think there actually was?
Oh, there was a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a lot. It was a lot.
It was like...
What really sucked was the showers.
It was like 30 of them. And so you'd walk around the corner, and it's like... Everybody you know is in there. Hey, what's going on? Hey, sir, what's up?
Oh, yeah, the battalion commander. You get Lance Corporal, and that's when you meet your battalion commander. Evening, sir. And you're always doing the dumbass stuff, you know, like, let me see him, you lock your body a little bit. Morning, sir. Evening.
Carry on.
And he's just trying to do crap.
It was awesome. Hey, and I was telling the story. Do you remember the day that we took the pictures with the pineapple turkey? We went over that head that was kind of like that in Afghanistan that nobody would use.
Yeah.
Remember? Because it had fabric partitions that came out to about your hip. And best of all, there was two of these kind of modules that faced each other. So not only did you get to talk to the guy left and right, but there was somebody directly across looking you straight in the face. I have a picture of you sitting on that, on one of those, drinking a cup of coffee. But you're fully clothed. I was taking pictures to send home, like, hey, here's where I live, this is where I sleep, here's where we eat, yeah, check this out, nobody uses this. And it's Mike in his uniform with his cover on, drinking a cup of coffee, sitting on one of these toilets. Look at this piece of barbarity that we have to deal with. But,
big deal.
Yeah.
What, you didn't drink coffee while you're taking a crap? I do it all the time.
No, I don't drink coffee.
Oh, see, that's the best time to drink it.
Is it?
Yeah.
So do you go, when you go in the bathroom, are you in there for like an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Because I read. I go in and read.
It's
good reading time. No one bothers you. No one bothers you because no one likes to, like, you're like, oh, it's a private moment. Whatever. You know what? We were talking about, I was trying to tell Tina this story. I said there's levels of barbaric, you know, being barbaric in that aspect. And I said, one is you just do the Filipino squat, right?
Right.
Two, if you have the means, you just go home. If you had the means, what you do is use the e-tool.
Right.
You rest, you know, one of the butt cheeks on the blade, and you kind of play this delicate balance of, you know, if it's not a good thing if you slip off and fall. You can visualize that's not a good thing. So you got to play the delicate balance. The other one is you lean up against a nice tree.
Right. Because here's the thing. Let me just explain to everybody why this. So when this happens to you and you're out in the field, right, you don't want to take your boots off, right? Which
no,
right? You just want to drop your pants,
right.
Okay? But you have to. So that means you have to lean back in order to take a dump.
Yeah, you got to get that perfect L.
Yeah, because you got to clear your pants. So and you don't want to take your boots off.
Yeah.
And that's where the E tool comes in. So you can, as Mike said, you can squat it. Or you can e-tool it, which is an art in and of itself, okay? So,
right.
Well, because next in the food chain would be? Uh-oh. Hello?
Huh?
What happened?
Yeah, sorry.
That's
I muted you for a second. But the wife gets stressed out when she's driving. Oh, I'm sorry. She gets stressed out when I'm driving with me.
Only
because I have. She's driving right now, and she tried to go across the way, and it's like
you had to intervene.
No, I do the, you know, the hey, go across, and she's like, I can't. You know, cars are coming already. So you know, like, going, let's just do a loop and come back in. So then she's driving on the road. I said, where are you going? Go and get gas on it. Just leave. And like I said, it's only when I'm in the car.
Of course, man.
But
if you're in the car, it'd be happy.
Dogger.
Oh, really?
She's a mad dogger, Mac. Yeah. So like people, she's like your, you know, the, I always tell you, like the New Yorkers, but she doesn't honk. You know, the New Yorkers are like, bip, 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 what are you thinking of? And the light just turned green. Hurry up and go. So someone is like too close. Why on my butt? Why are you doing this? And then she mad dogs them as they come alongside. She's mad dogging. So she's a mad dogger.
Oh, man.
I told her yesterday, we were driving, and I said, what are you doing? Why are you mad dogging that guy? I said, one of these days, some idiot, some crazy person is going to call you out on that. And then what's going to happen?
No.
Then I'm going to have to go to jail, because then I'm going to have to go bust some guy's jaw, because he went off on my wife. Because you mad dogged him, but it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Nine, trust me. I don't want to say I've done that. I've chased somebody on the freeway that mad dogged me, but I might have.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I busted a guy across the face. Just his girlfriend was the one that was running our stuff, and I told him, "Hey, buddy, you better shut your girlfriend up because." Your body's gonna have to cash, and you know he was like, "Oh, you know, you just." And finally, okay, I'm not hitting her, hitting you. Sorry, this is the way it is. You know, and then the girl's like, "I don't believe why you're hitting her. You don't hit girls, and you didn't realize that you just got to keep your mouth shut."
Yeah, the last time it happened to me. I was going to see my son and my grandson and my daughter-in-law up in 29 Palms. I'm driving on the 10, right? And guy's trying to get on. I'm in the right-hand lane, minding my own business, not even speeding, doing nothing. And the guy next to me won't move over, so I can't move over. So I speed up a little bit to clear it so that he can get in behind me. So a little while later, I keep going. He goes around me, around the car next to me, and he cuts in front of me, like right in front of my headlight. And then I hit the brakes, and then the next thing I did was hit the gas. And he takes off, and I hit the gas, and I don't know how fast I wound up going, but I caught him. I roll the passenger window down, and I'm screaming at him. I'm screaming at him, pull your car over! Pull your car over! You know? And
like, why? But why? So you're going crazy now.
Yeah. And all I wanted to do was kill him. That's all I wanted to do. Pull your car over, and I'm gonna pop your head right off your body.
Yeah, I wasn't asking much. I just wanted to take your life.
That's it. And so now we're going down and he won't look at me, right? And he won't look at me. Right. And then I think I was on active duty at the time, so my hair was short. And he finally looked, and then you know he changed his lanes, and I changed lanes, and I'm like right next to him with my window down, screaming at him, and. Finally, he cuts over two lanes to get to the off ramp, and takes off.
Dude, that guy could have been one. What the chances of him getting a crazy dude, and then pull a gun out and shoot you?
No, then that's how it ends.
Yeah,
it's not like It's not like I can control that. Like I don't want or
yes,
I'm.
You can.
I can.
Yeah, you know, looks okay. So. It was the other day, probably about 3 4
Wait
years
a minute.
Ago,
you just said, you just told a story like, dude.
I changed. That was the old me, Mac. This is the new me. I'm trying to teach you something.
You tracked a guy down on the internet and
that was a long time ago.
And stalked him 2 weeks ago during the election because he made comments about Ron.
That was politics. That's election stuff. That's completely different. That's doing it for a buddy.
Oh, so it was unselfish on your part?
That was for work. That was actually my job. Yeah. That was different.
All right. So, My bad.
I'm at Lowe's, and I'm walking down, and I'm looking down the aisles, you know, like, because I'm forgetting, like, one thing, like, what did I forget? And all of a sudden, this dude, I look down the aisle, and the guy's coming out. I'm pushing a cart, and he's saying something. And I wasn't registered because I wasn't looking at him. You know, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking past him down the aisle. And I looked, then I finally realized he was talking to me, and I said, what? And he goes, I'm going to say it again. What are you looking at? And I said, what? You know, because again, it wasn't registered. And he looked at me again, and he was next to him. And I was like, I'm looking down the aisle. What are you talking about? And he goes, oh, I thought you were looking at me or something. And I'm like, why would I do that? He just kind of shot me this look. And then I realized he was with his girlfriend. And then it dawned on me, well, maybe he was thinking this. And this is where the old me would have said this. I would have said, the old me would have went, oh, I just realized something. You think that I was looking at her.
No, you're not going to
do
it.
Oh, no. No, please.
Don't say that.
I would have. That's what I would have said back in the day.
You were gonna mad dog.
Oh, no.
You were gonna mad dog his girl.
No, what I'm trying to say is his girl was butt ugly, man.
I know. So you were gonna give a hard time about his girl. I'd never look at that.
Cause he's not. I think in his one of his thoughts was, who's this guy checking out my girl? Like, have you seen your girl? Really? Who would check her out? Do I look like I got a dent in my head?
So rather than just say, nah, man, I wasn't doing that, you would do that?
Yeah, I would have been only like, I would have played the smart ass going, oh, I see. You made the assumption that I was checking your girl out. Oh, okay. Dude, you need to take a good look at your girl. And then that would have caused some kind of, you know,
Yeah. Then if he's any kind of a man,
then he's got to defend himself.
He's got to fight. You guys got to fight right there in the hardware aisle at Home Depot.
Yeah.
No, it's legit. The email, Mac. Both you two are going to wind up dead someday from these confrontations. Look, I don't control it. I call it my black blood. When my black blood explodes, I'm a victim. I'm like Bill Clinton when Monica Lewinsky.
Me, it's my Indian blood.
Yeah, when Monica Lewinsky pulled up her dress and Bill Clinton was victimized, I'm the same way. I'm a victim. It's not my choosing. I didn't do it because I wanted to. It just happened.
Right.
I can't control it. So it's my black blood.
You know, that's the one way to look at it. I never thought of it like that. No. Bill Clinton is the victim because Monica Lewinsky is the one who lifted her dress up.
Well, let me just expand on that. Okay, first of all, okay, Thunder Calves, right, Bill Clinton's spouse, it's not like she's doing her wifely duty, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, okay? She's supposed to honor him, and, you know, I mean, and they're supposed to be committed to each other. And so, I mean, do we need the guy with the most pressure on him on the planet, right? Do we need him walking around on edge all the time? No, she's supposed to take care of that.
But the whole argument behind that whole thing was, I don't think there's a guy in the country that at the end, when he got caught, when he did, most of the guys behind with guys be like, well, he is married to Hillary Clinton.
Right.
I mean, come on. Because people be like, yeah, that's right. I mean, so there's that Hillary Clinton clause.
Well, I don't even want to go. I don't even want to go into, you know, I don't want to be that guy, right? That bashes her for her looks. Okay, but I'll just say he's the president of the United States. Maybe we should consider that the president can have concubines, or the president has a harem. We need that guy to be like low stress man. He walks in every day. Hey, what's going on, everybody?
He's not a king. No. That's being a king.
Well, I know. We're just talking about regulating his bodily thermostat and the ecosystem. We need him to be low-pressure, happy man. Hey, Gunner, what's up? Nothing, Mr. President. How are you? Awesome. Awesome. Couldn't be better. Hey, Mac, what's going on? Where's Kelly? Oh, he's in there doing a crossword puzzle. Hey, Chief, what's up? Nothing. You seem in a good mood, Mr. President. Oh, I am. I am. I'm going to be in a good mood for a few days, too. And so... But he's not like that. So he's vulnerable because he's physically, like, you know, not in balance. And then this young girl with a gigantic booty, she pulls her dress up, and what does he do? He loses his mind. So he is he's a victim. I can see him being victimized by that.
I know. I can see him victimized.
So like him, I could be a victim too. I wish I could control that. I can't. That guy cuts in front of my left front light, headlight. The rest, I don't even know what happened. Next thing I know, I'm screaming. And then right after it happens, I felt bad. Like, God, what am I doing? Like, I shouldn't be doing that. And then I was like, how do I stop it? How do I stop it? Especially if there's no female member of my family around.
Yeah. Right.
How do I stop it? I don't know.
If you hear someone being hit, that's my wife hitting me, by the way. She's like, gonna smack me so hard. Give me a second.
Why? You're not criticizing her driving anymore.
No, because when she pulled into the drive, no. She was getting ready to pull into the driveway. She said, oh, can you back in? Because, you know, we got to put stuff in the back. She's like, oh, swear to God, I'm going to hit you so hard.
So what's on the agenda for today? Are you just hanging out with your mom and helping out, or what's going on?
No, we're gonna pack up the car and then leave here in a little bit.
Oh, you're not doing chores and helping your mother-in-law like move stuff around the house and do some.
No, she doesn't need anything moved around the house.
She doesn't.
Ooh. Oh, we're going to lunch. Right.
Oh.
We're going to Mexican Sunday in a couple of hours. Yeah, we're having Mexican. You get to eat.
Hey, so have you started your PT program after you were in the hospital again?
She's making fists.
Oh, she is. Fists of fury.
Yeah.
So have you started your...
She's mad dunking me, too.
Have you started your fists of fury? Your fists of fury.
I'm not talking to her.
Oh, my God.
God.
Are you getting in trouble?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I hate that. So when do you start your PT program?
Just leave the water. I'll put it in the... Oh.
Oh, my God.
Okay. She's so funny. She's going to lose it on me here in a second.
Is she? I hope we're still on the air when she loses
it. No, she's fine now because she went in the house.
No,
because I'm just having fun with her. you know? So I'm like, everything she's doing, as she's making a left, I said, I'll make a left right here. You know, or do this. And she, the one thing that gets her blood boiling is when I tell her to do something. She's like, you know, like, don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. I'm like, okay. And then she bent her down and did it again. I tell her, pick that up. Oh, man, she just, like, she's ready to wail on me.
What?
But I know when to back off. Like, I know that point when the tiger's going to bite my hand off. All you got to do is be just a little bit quicker than the cat, right? And you don't get hurt. So, I know right at that moment, just to, like, so, and then I get the, right to the moon, huh? Right to the moon.
All right. So, when do you head home? Are you going to hang out in Arizona for a few days or what?
Yeah, Sunday. I'll be back Monday.
So you drive home Monday?
Wedding's tomorrow. Yeah. And it's just a very small wedding. I mean, we've been buddies for just almost as long as, you know, I've known Tina's son. And he was a former Marine, military police guy. Then he got out and followed his dream to be law enforcement, and he's been an Orange County deputy sheriff for forever and a day, man.
Did you meet him when you were your brief stint as an MP?
No, but we knew the same people. While he was in, we came in almost at the same time. So had he stayed in, he would have been about a year on him. But we knew the same people. We ran the same crowd. And then we met, we were hunting buddies on a trip to Alaska. That's when we first met.
Oh, so you didn't meet in the Marine Corps. You met post-Marine Corps.
Right.
Wow. Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then we've been buddies ever since.
You have a lot of law enforcement buddies that you go hunting with, yes, over the years?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anything else? Anything else going on that we need to know about?
Oh, I found there's half of a Heath bar. I should eat it because that's hers.
Not
she loves. You know Heath bars?
Yeah, absolutely.
I should hide it or eat it.
No, hide it.
I don't want to eat it.
Hide it. Say you eat it, and then she'll go off on you and say, "You know what? I love you so much. I would never eat it. Here you go. I'm glad you think so poor of me." Yeah, then you make it lay the guilt trip on her, Mike.
Why do you push me to the point where I'm going to punch you?
Say, because I want you to punch me.
No, because, you know, like I said, I just push her right to the point. I like how it's fun. You know, like I always tell her, she's like, why do you pick on me so much?
Yeah, why do
I
you
said,
do
you know,
that?
Because if I pick on you, it's because I like you. And the more I pick on you, the more I like you.
It's a form of respect. It's a form of affection. And all you would have to have seen is Mike. So I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing something. And it's like, Mike Musselman is live streaming. Poof, I'll watch that. So she's eating or something. And then she goes in the bedroom and locks the door. And so Mike says, oh, this is not going to stop me. So while he's live streaming, he walks around through the kitchen, through a closet, yes, to a back door into the bedroom.
Closet.
Master back door of the master closet in the back way, and now Tina's in the bedroom, and he's live streaming all of this on Facebook. And then you're going.
And then it's like a tiger attacking me. She's
it was
crazy. Yeah.
It was like, why is he doing this? He wants to die. So, no. So, obviously, you get great pleasure from that, yes?
Yeah. It's because I like you so much. That's what
go.
I tell.
There you go. And
if I stop doing that, then I'd be alarmed.
You know what? That's well said. Well said. If I stop doing that.
No one in Arizona's got grass for lawns. They got nothing.
Oh, I know. They don't even try to do lawns anymore. Yeah, it's all rock. It's all brown. All brown.
Right.
California, man, we got nothing but rain again. So we're no more drought. We don't even talk about the drought.
Oh, yeah, I know. You guys will suck all the water dry out of the aquifer. And then you'll be right back. By August, guys are going to be in drought conditions.
No. So we got 7 feet of snow in the Sierras. That's good. So we're good for three more years, man.
Watch.
There's
some way, somehow.
Say it with me. More years. Hey, do you want to make any comment about the president going to go meet Mr. Korea?
Yes.
What do you think?
Rocket Boy.
Yeah, do you think
somebody called him Rocket Boy?
Rocket Man. Do you think that he would go, because look, the last thing the president needs to do is legitimize this fool by meeting with him and then get his punk card pulled. Okay? So normally there is no meeting unless we're assured that these things are going to happen and we're going to sign this document and we'll meet to do that. Otherwise,
Rocket Man's trying to do something.
You think so? Do you think Donald Trump is going to put himself in a position to get punked by Rocket Man?
No.
Neither do I.
Absolutely not.
I don't. I think he'd call off the meeting. Say like, yeah, I'm not going to lend myself to the circus. And so the question is, Rocket Man is legitimately going to go through 29 years of development. And in the 11th hour and the 59th minute before he gets a nuclear weapon, he's going to say, yeah, I won't do it. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either.
And then the president.
And
the president signed up to go over. And so I don't know. So it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens. What do you most.
Yeah, this has the potential to make him a superstar or blow up in his face.
Yeah. I agree.
If he could pull off the ultimate, you know, of bringing North Korea to its knees to diplomacy, you know, no one ever would have thought that. Donald Trump brought North Korea to its knees through the diplomacy channels? Yep. In your face, John Kerry.
Well, but you know what it is, though, right? It's Teddy Roosevelt. Walk softly, but he doesn't walk softly. Walk softly and carry a big stick. And it's a lesson for... The Japanese, you gotta get your military back to something formidable. Okay? The Australians are in. The South Koreans are in. The Chinese wouldn't be able to do shit in the Pacific with the United States,
right.
Australia, Japan, South Korea, all with formidable armies. Do you want to fight? We'll smoke your ass. Okay? And the same thing in NATO. You know, Russia, if Germany had a strong military, France, the UK, and us, what is Russia going to do? Nothing. So, again, I think the lesson for the world is if you don't want to fight, you got to invest in the military, you got to keep it big, and you got to keep it strong.
Right.
And if you don't
believe the Germans. I mean, a nation of warriors have become pacifists.
Yeah, they don't do it. And so here's the bullshit piece of this. And I'll circle it back to my opening comments. The Japanese don't have a military. Why? Because we'll defend them. We're their military. Can we sell a car in Japan? No, God, no. Right? The Germans don't have a military. Why? Because the United States will defend them. Yet do we have fair reciprocal trade with these countries? No.
No.
It's a joke. So, I'm totally for tariffs, and these bullshit people that go on and say, I'm for free trade. Oh, really? Mike, so what do you think about this?
Where's the freeness of it?
Yeah. In the United States, we have the EPA, we have OSHA, we have disability insurance, we have unemployment insurance, we have the Food and Drug Administration if you're a farmer, and you have to file all the regulations and requirements if you're making steel, if you're a farmer, that these people have, which lays on all kinds of costs to an employer. An employer in Mexico doesn't have any of that. China, none of that. And yet they call that free trade. That's free trade. You're killing us. It's bullshit.
So free to get screwed.
Yeah, and then, oh, by the way, Germany, Japan, we don't have free trade with you, and we'll go ahead and defend your asses, too. Awesome deal.
Yep.
So again, I just think make it level, make it reciprocal, balance it out, and then people compete. But let me tell you, when you've regulated the companies of this country out of existence, and then you allow somebody that's going to compete with them who isn't subject to any of that to bring their products in the country and call that free trade? That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
No, that's good. All good points, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right, well, look, you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday, and travel safe.
Yeah. Then we'll talk post-trip analysis.
PTA, I love
if
that.
I'm still alive by then. If I'm still alive.
You'll be alive. You'll be alive. Plus, you know, you do some of your best work at social gatherings.
Oh, no. I mean, live from Keenan are killing me.
Yeah. If you ever want to see Mike at in a really good spot, see him in a public gathering of people. He is as smooth as a baby's ass. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. All right, man. Have a good weekend.
All right. We'll talk to you later, man.
Go Yankees.
Bye-bye.
Did he say all right? He did say all right. I love that. All right, that'll do it on a Friday. Big news. Yeah, no, I'm more excited about the tariffs than I am anything else. Hey, you know, maybe we could start importing, like, firefighters and police officers from other countries, too. You know, that's a pretty expensive cost. Let's outsource that shit, too. I mean, come on. Those pensions, we'll do away with all the pensions, the medical care. We'll see if we can import administrators for different cities. Hell, let's start importing school teachers from other countries. That's exactly what has been done to American workers. Yeah, look, we're going to hire like a police force out of Mexico, and they're going to come in and they're going to police Orange County. Yeah, we're just going to outsource it. Hey, fair trade. Yeah. Yeah, people would go hysterical. Wah! Can't do that. It goes on. It's been going on in this country forever. So, yeah. Tariff the shit out of China. And anybody else who doesn't play, give us. And what are we doing it for? Why do we defend Japan and then allow them to keep our cars out of Japan, saying, sorry, they don't meet our requirements? Pfft. Killing me with that. That stupid kind of nonsense. Anyway, my thanks to the chef for coming on today, Kim Holmes. My thanks to you for listening. This week, a couple of awesome segments. Make sure you listen to Nick War. It'll take you a few sessions to get through it. But I would recommend that you listen to that. It's pretty good stuff. And it's one of the questions I've received repeatedly because of it, and it's pretty interesting, is at what point do you say no to an order? Yeah, pretty interesting. And you're going to hear a similar story this coming week from Vietnam. You're going to hear a similar story. So, and we'll ask Jarvis Lynch that. He was a major and operations officer when he got given an order. So, also on Wednesday, Mike Musselman was on talking about leadership for NCOs, what that looks like, what it smells like, what it is. By all means, listen to that. Awesome stuff. So, on a Friday, have a great weekend. This program repeats itself momentarily. So, All Marine Radio, out.